Today is Thursday, October 23rd, and this is the World Socialist Website. Gaza peace deal exposed as cover for genocide and ethnic cleansing by Andre Damon. On October 9th, Hamas and Israel signed a peace agreement involving the release of all remaining Israeli hostages and the permanent occupation of Gaza by Israel. The agreement, spearheaded by U.S. President Trump, was hailed by all factions of U.S. and European imperialism, along with the nationalist regimes in the Middle East, without exception, as a step toward peace. The Financial Times called it, quote, a rare moment of hope in the Middle East, unquote, declaring that, quote, Trump should be applauded for his push to end the catastrophe. The New York Times called it promising. New York mayoral candidate Zohran Mamdani, a member of the Democratic Socialists of America, peddled illusions in the agreement, declaring, quote, if the genocide ends, then I think that's something worthy to be praised, unquote, and Trump would deserve credit. The nationalist regimes in the Middle East and Asia fawned over the agreement and its architect, Trump. Turkey declared that, quote, a window of opportunity has opened for lasting peace in our region, unquote. A joint statement by the foreign ministers of Jordan, United Arab Emirates, Indonesia, Pakistan, Turkey, Saudi Arabia, Qatar, and Egypt said that the governments, quote, welcome President Donald J. Trump's leadership in his sincere efforts to end the war in Gaza and assert their confidence in his ability to find a path to peace, unquote. In contrast to the ridiculous claims that Trump, a genocidal warmonger and would-be dictator, is seeking peace in the Middle East, the World Socialist website explained that the agreement, quote, creates an imperialist protectorate that tramples on the rights of the Palestinians and strengthens American control over the energy-rich Middle East. Nearly 2 weeks since the signing of the agreement, the correctness of this assessment is undeniable. The peace agreement has sanctified the permanent Israeli occupation and annexation of a large portion of Gaza, coupled with daily mass killing and the deliberate starvation of the population. The absurd lie that peace has been achieved has allowed the U.S. and international media to once again stop reporting on the genocide, despite the fact that Israel is still occupying, killing, and starving the people of Gaza. Since the signing of the ceasefire agreement, Israel has carried out over 80 separate violations of the deal, killing over 100 Palestinians and injuring over 230. On Sunday, the deadliest day so far, the Israeli military killed 45 Palestinians in dozens of separate attacks. Israel, which promised to allow 600 aid trucks into Gaza every day, allowed half that number before announcing it was shutting down aid distribution altogether amid a deepening famine. The peace agreement has also left Israel in control of the majority of Gaza, setting the stage for making the U.S.-Israeli occupation permanent. On Wednesday, U.S. Vice President J.D. Vance traveled to Israel, where he said that the visit was, quote, not about monitoring the ceasefire in the sense of, you know, you monitor a toddler. That is, Israel has the administration's green light to continue murdering Palestinians. Vance also made clear the real plan motivating the ceasefire. He said, quote, there are considerations happening now in the area that the IDF, or Israel Defense Forces, controls, as long as that can be secured, to start the construction of a new Gaza. In other words, there is no conflict between the peace agreement announced by Trump and his plans for a U.S.-Israeli-occupied Gaza and the construction of his Gaza Riviera. Rather, the peace agreement will merely solidify and make permanent the Israeli occupation of Gaza and create the conditions for the killing, starvation, and forcible displacement of the population living there. An article in the Wall Street Journal, published Wednesday, titled "A U.S. Plan Splits Gaza in Two, One Zone Controlled by Israel, One by Hamas," makes clear that the Israeli occupation of Gaza is the foundation of a long-term project of annexation. It outlines a U.S.-backed plan to divide Gaza into two zones, with reconstruction aid flowing only to areas labeled safe zones. Jared Kushner and Vice President J.D. Vance told reporters that the aim was to build a quote-unquote new Gaza under Israeli military protection. In reality, the plan is a blueprint for the permanent partition and conquest of Gaza. As the journal bluntly states, quote, "over time, Israel could take more territory from Hamas's control," unquote. The so-called expansion of safe areas means incremental annexation through killing, starvation, and displacement. The proposal thus codifies the destruction of Gaza and the transformation of what remains into an occupied, militarized colony serving the interest of Israeli and American imperialism. The Israeli annexation of portions of Gaza is to be accompanied, within the framework of the agreement, by an openly colonial arrangement for the government of Gaza. Under the proposal, Gaza is to be governed by a board of peace that will be, quote, "headed and chaired by President Donald J. Trump," unquote, and include, quote, "former UK Prime Minister Tony Blair," unquote. This arrangement is a flagrant violation of international law, trampling underfoot the internationally recognized right of all people to self-determination. The peace deal in Gaza has furthered the conditions for Israel to move forward with the annexation of the West Bank. This week, Israeli lawmakers voted 25-24 to advance a bill declaring that, quote, "the laws, judicial system, administration, and sovereignty of the State of Israel shall apply to all areas of settlement in Judea and Samaria," unquote. The fraud of the Gaza Agreement carries far-reaching lessons for workers and young people fighting to stop the Gaza genocide and oppose imperialist war and neocolonialism. Every government and political tendency that supports or excuses this crime, whether in Tel Aviv, Washington, or the capitals in the Middle East, stands exposed as an enemy of the working class. They have given their stamp of approval to an agreement that makes permanent the colonial subjugation of the Palestinian masses and gives a fig leaf of legality to the ongoing genocide. After 2 years of mass killing, all protests directed at pressuring the U.S. or European political establishment into opposing the genocide have shown themselves to be totally ineffective. The only way to stop the ongoing genocide is to build a mass movement of workers and young people against war based on a socialist perspective. As the World Socialist website wrote in its response to the peace agreement, quoting, "the tragedy of the Palestinians has been that they are deprived of the support of the working class due to the absence of a revolutionary movement in the advanced countries. The only way to realize the democratic and social rights of the long-suffering masses of the Middle East and establish a genuine basis for peaceful coexistence is through the fight for the perspective of the permanent revolution. Arab, Jewish, Iranian, Kurdish, and Turkish workers must unite in a common struggle against the imperialist domination of the region and for the creation of the United Socialist States of the Middle East as part of a World Socialist Federation. In this struggle, their allies are not to be found in the pro-imperialist and corrupt Zionist and Arab ruling classes, but in the working class in the imperialist centers of North America and Europe. Forging this alliance into an independent political and industrial movement of the international working class capable of putting an end to capitalism, the root cause of genocide, imperialist war, and all forms of colonial-style oppression, is possible only on the basis of the revolutionary socialist program fought for by the International Committee of the Fourth International and its daily organ, the World Socialist website, end quote. The task now is to transform the outrage of millions into a conscious, organized struggle to end the system that produces genocide and war. The Socialist Equality Party in the International Committee of the Fourth International call on workers and youth in every country to take up this fight, to build sections of the ICFI, unite across national and religious lines, and fight for the socialist reorganization of the world. Trump demanding $230 million from Justice Department over past investigations, by Barry Gray. In a mafia-style shakedown, President Donald Trump is demanding that his hand-picked Justice Department appointees approve some $230 million paid for by taxpayers in compensation for investigations conducted during and after his first term in office. The news, first reported Tuesday by the New York Times, comes in the midst of a government shutdown that is depriving hundreds of thousands of government workers of paychecks and threatening to close down food assistance programs on which millions rely. Such damage claims by a sitting president are unprecedented, raising glaring conflict of interest issues. In Trump's case, they are compounded by the fact that the Department of Justice officials tasked with ruling on his demands, known as administrative claims, are Deputy Attorney General Todd Blanche, his former personal defense lawyer, and Associate Attorney General Stanley Woodward Jr., who represented Trump's co-defendant in one of the cases for which Trump is demanding compensation. The Times quoted Bennett L. Gershman, an ethics professor at Pace University, as saying, quote, "What a travesty. The ethical conflict is just so basic and fundamental. You don't need a law professor to explain it," unquote. Gershman added, quote, "And then to have people in the Justice Department decide whether his claim should be successful or not, and these are the people who serve him deciding whether he wins or loses. It's bizarre and almost too outlandish to believe," unquote. Trump confirmed the Times story on Tuesday when asked about it by a reporter in the Oval Office. He said, quote, "It could be," unquote, and went on to say, quote, "I don't know about the numbers. I don't even talk about it. All I know is that they would owe me a lot of money," unquote. He continued, quote, "With the country, it's interesting because I'm the one that makes the decision. It's awfully strange to make a decision where I'm the one paying myself," unquote. Trump has lodged two administrative claims. The first, submitted in late 2023, seeks damages over the FBI and special counsel investigation into alleged Russian interference in the 2016 election and possible connections to the Trump campaign. The second complaint, filed in the summer of 2024, accuses the FBI of violating Trump's privacy by searching his Mar-a-Lago estate in 2022 for classified documents. It also accuses the Justice Department of malicious prosecution and charging him with mishandling classified records after he left office. Administrative claims are submitted first to the Justice Department to see if a settlement can be reached. If the DOJ rejects such a claim or declines to act on it, the claimant can then sue in court. The Times wrote, quote, "Still, that is an unlikely outcome in this instance, given that Trump is already negotiating, in essence, with his subordinates." Deputy Attorney General Blanche said at his confirmation hearing in February that his attorney-client relationship with the president continued. He represented Trump in both the classified documents case and the case brought by Special Counsel Jack Smith over Trump's role in the January 6, 2021 attack on the U.S. Capitol by Trump's fascist supporters. Associate Attorney General Woodward, who heads the DOJ's Civil Division, represented Trump's co-defendant, Walt Nauta, in the classified documents case. He has also represented a number of other Trump aides, including current FBI Director Kash Patel, in investigations related to Trump or the January 6th insurrection. If and when a cash settlement of Trump's claims is awarded, neither the Justice Department nor the White House is under any legal requirement to inform the public. DOJ spokesperson Chad Gilmartin is responding to all press inquiries on conflicts of interest with the same one-sentence statement. Quote, in any circumstance, all officials at the Department of Justice follow the guidance of career ethics officials, unquote. In fact, the Trump Justice Department fired its ethics chief in July, part of a purge of at least a dozen employees who had worked with the special counsel who brought the federal indictments against Trump. Trump's effort to extort $230 million from the Justice Department is only the latest example of his utterly corrupt use of the presidency for self-enrichment. Trump's family launched a Trump cryptocurrency meme coin before his 2025 inauguration that netted hundreds of millions of dollars. He and his allies also profited from stock sales in Truth Social, his publicly traded social media firm, which spiked following policy favors to investors. Trump accepted luxury assets while in office, including a $500 million aircraft provided by Qatari interests for display in his planned presidential museum. Various Democratic lawmakers have denounced Trump's demand for $230 million in taxpayer money as a shakedown and self-dealing, but as always, they propose nothing, not even impeachment proceedings, to stop it. This has been Paul Fuller for the World Socialist Website.
The World Socialist Website is published by the International Committee of the Fourth International, the ICFI, the leadership of the World Socialist Movement, the Fourth International founded by Leon Trotsky in 1938. The World Socialist Website relies entirely on the donations of readers and listeners for financial support. To give to the WSWS or to set up a regular monthly contribution, go to wsws.org/donate. We urge our listeners to join the International Committee of the Fourth International and one of its affiliated political parties and take up the struggle for socialism.